News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07 on Mobile Mornings, and we do have a little rain moving this way. Dr. Bill said, don't be surprised by that. Pretty good shot at rain. And in fact, I thought this was kind of a headline out of the weather this morning that we'll stay in the 80s today for a high temperature. That means a lot of clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty unusual. We haven't been in the 80s for a high in a long time.
Yeah, we've been in the 90s, mid-90s, yep. High humidity.
Yep.
And I'm sure the humidity will remain high, but that rain, if it isn't already in your location, wherever you're listening to us from, it likely will be headed this way, and much more typical July weather will follow.
Yep.
Where
yep.
It'll be hot. I think Doc said by the end of this week we're back in the mid-90s, high humidity, and then afternoon thunderstorms a possibility, of course.
Maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, more sunshine. There'll be a chance of rain. There always pretty much is, but it won't be as common to have that rain around, and the temperatures again will be very, very hot. So, and we maybe at one point we'll get around to all that's happening this weekend, because there is plenty, and a number of those things that we're involved with the nappies. See you there.
I'm going to be there.
We got a post nappy dinner.
I hope so.
Right.
Let's do pre and post dinner. Dinners.
Okay. Well, pre will not be a dinner.
Okay.
Pre will be something else.
Yeah.
And then post will be, you know, let's see if we can grab a table somewhere downtown.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Okay.
Huge weekend. Blue Angels, ADSFR.
Sean's down at the island.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that throughout the weekend. Also, before we get into the 8 o'clock discussion, the FM Talk 106.5 America 250 Summer Showcase rolls on.
Mm-hmm.
We're now a week into this contest.
Already got a winner.
Nearly a week, yeah. And we have our first Facebook winner. Every week we'll have a winner from our Facebook page that gets an American-made USA flag from American Legacy Company in Gulf Shores. We appreciate them, and make it into that store if you can. But Buddy Garrett, he won our first week of the Facebook contest. His image that he posted were the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds flying together in that Super Delta formation, flying over the White House.
Yep.
If Buddy was there for the UFC 250 when they did that, or exactly when he snapped that picture, I'll find out once we're able to talk with him. But he ended up with the most likes in week one on that post that
he
was pinned
the picture
to the top of the page, I believe so.
Wow.
And so,
okay, I thought he just kind of grabbed the picture.
No, I think he took that picture.
Wow.
And so he is our week one winner. He had the most likes, which means he gets that flag, but he also gets an entry into the grand prize drawing, which will come on September 1st.
Talk about, look, so 6 years I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever seen a grand prize of this stature.
No.
It's incredible.
It's crazy, yeah. So all of our sponsors coming together to make this grand prize. Before I tell you what the grand prize is, Buddy is our first entrant. He won that Facebook profile or patriotic photo contest by getting the most likes. We're going to do that every week through August. So until the very end of August, each week we'll have a Facebook contest. Post your most patriotic photo, get family and friends to like it, and whoever ends up with the most likes on a Monday morning wins that previous week's contest. The other way that you can get your name in that grand prize drawing is by going to any of our participating locations for our sponsors, which include a ton of Piggly Wiggly stores.
Yeah.
And then J&M Tackle, Gray's Craze and Mobile, Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly, as I mentioned, G&D Farms, and did I miss any there? J&M, Gray's Craze, Cart Doctor, G&D, Piggly Wiggly, and we also have a box at American Legacy Company. At the end of August, each of those stores will draw one grand prize entrant, and they will receive the American-made American flag. After that, September 1st, we're going to draw from all of those entrants, the Facebook winners, the store winners, for our grand prize. And that grand prize package from J&M, a $2,500, that's $2,500 fishing and outdoor package that comes with an Angler's Mate senior fishing cart, Turtle Box Gen 3, a Yeti Tundra 45 patriotic cooler.
Hmm.
Here's where the fishing part comes in. Two Quantum Merit 3000 spinning combos, two Quantum Merit 6000 surf combos, a J&M SureHold rope handle bucket with approximately $250 in fishing tools and tackle loaded inside,
man,
along with a $50 J&M Tackle gift card. That's just part of the grand prize package. Also, $500 worth of charcuterie boards or boxes from Gray's Craze on Airport. Cart Doctor is providing a $500 Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth soundbar. Now, you don't have to just put this on your cart. It goes on boats. It goes on whatever you could fit it on. Waterproof, dustproof, and dirtproof with LED lighting and 500 watts through 8 marine-grade speakers. Put it on your ATV or UTV, boat or golf cart. G&D Farms providing a $600 sportsman's package, and Piggly Wiggly with a $500 shopping spree redeemable at any Piggly Wiggly in Mobile or Baldwin County. So one winner is going to get all of that. You can go to the previously mentioned sponsors, find that entry box, and put your name and number, and enter that drawing along with our Facebook contest. And it is the America 250 Summer Showcase, doing it all big. Once again, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Amazing, amazing. On the text line, someone jumping in saying that they think they know what the announcement is that Regent is going to make. Can you see that? I can't quite.
Sure. Jason says, and he, I guess posting this from another radio station, Alabama native and comedian Matt Matthews will be the first announced act at the Regent's Arena. He is bringing his Not What I Ordered World Tour to the venue Saturday, March 6th.
You know him?
No, and okay. I was thinking it's ironic if he's the first one, because that's not what I would have ordered, Matt Matthews. But it says Saturday, March 6th. I don't know, Jason. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, but whoever's pushing this out there, if the big announcement is that comedian Matt Matthews is the first act, then there must be something I'm missing, because I haven't heard of the guy.
So, no, and you introduced me to bunches of comedians.
Yeah.
So if you've missed Matt.
You know, and Matthews. That's on me, you know, if he's someone I'm supposed to know. Yeah. But we'll have to wait and see. That big announcement coming up within the hour, I guess, 9 o'clock. They're going to make a big grand opening announcement for the new Regions Arena downtown.
You know, my age, which is great, is I'm not supposed to know anything.
Right.
So the pressure's on you.
The pressure is on me.
It's not on me.
I'm the one who's going to look like a fool. All you have to do is say, kids these days.
That's it.
Kids these days.
That's all I do.
So it was, you know, I think of all the massive news that comes down and it seems to always happen overnight or while I'm asleep, and there's nothing like waking up to just some really world-altering news. And of course, it's all on a sliding scale, and in the grand scheme of things, how much does Lindsey Graham move the needle? But I'll tell you, he's moved the needle a lot more than a lot of people. And seeing that he died unexpectedly when I woke up early yesterday morning, he passed away late Saturday night. Bit of a shock to the system.
It is. I mean, he was, many members of the Senate and the Congress are, I won't say they're invisible, but they're not on camera much. They're not quoted much. They're there. They serve their constituents well enough to get reelected, but they're not major players.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when it came to national security, foreign affairs, foreign wars,
yeah,
things like that. Lindsey Graham, he was in the front row.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, so he was elected to the House in 92, became known during the Clinton term for being a House manager during that impeachment trial. But then you have 9/11, of course, in 2001. He picks up that Senate seat for the first time in 2002 and then never let it go. And his name is so synonymous with international affairs that, remember, he and Lieberman and McCain, they were the three amigos, with Lieberman from the Liberal Party and then McCain and Graham. And they, as much hate as there is for Lindsey Graham and will continue to be for his kind of neocon ways,
mm-hmm,
he in many ways put up what he was talking. Like, he was visiting many of these places where serious war was ongoing.
He just got back from Ukraine.
From the ground level.
Yeah, he just got back.
And whether throughout all of this, you know, he was profiting from it, I guess the long-term story will tell, but his net worth, the way it's written, nowhere near what we've seen some of these
others,
politicians go into office with and then leave. I think his net worth somewhere around $1.5 million, which after 24 years in the Senate,
pretty
and,
modest,
and 10 previous years in the House, yeah, you'd think it would be a lot higher than that. So one of the things that Trump said, and I think I have it in this clip, but I thought, and we've heard Trump, you know, speak after many of his allies have died or been assassinated one way or the other. And Shinzo Abe was one that really seemed to hurt the president, once Abe was assassinated. I think they had a really great relationship. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, so many others that have died or been killed since, like Charlie Kirk. And some people said that Trump's tone after Kirk was killed didn't rise to the level that they hoped that it would have. But I thought he really sounded, in his own way, pretty torn up yesterday about Lindsey Graham passing away unexpectedly, an aortic tear. Let me see if this is where Trump calls him a worker, which I think is maybe the top compliment he can give someone. But he said, he goes into detail a little more on their call that they had Saturday after Graham returned from Ukraine and before 911 was called.
So what makes it even stranger?
And I apologize for this audio. I couldn't find any other version of it from Meet the Press, but it's a little off.
Here is that I got a call last night sometime in, you know, the early evening, maybe in the sevens. And he called and he said, we're all set for the Save America Act. He was pushing the Save America Act like crazy. He got back. Said he just landed from Ukraine. I said, that's a long trip to make. He said, he sounded a little tired, but perfect, but a little bit tired. I had a right to be. And he was a worker. He was really a worker. But he sounded great, actually. But he actually said he was tired. But he wanted to pass the Save America Act. And I said, well, we're going to get it done, Lindsey. We're going to get it done. I'll see you, like, soon. We thought maybe we might even meet today. And then that was it. And that was, you know, very around the time. It couldn't have been much longer. It could have been his last call. I don't know exactly. But I got a message about 1 o'clock in the morning from one of the people at his office that he had passed away. I said, you got it. I just can't believe it. He was like a member of the family to me. It's very tough, actually. It's amazing.
Mr. President.
And then he continued there. And I think, you know, regardless, again, of how you felt about Lindsey Graham, the person, and I know that
politician
liberals were coming after him hard after his death, but also there's a lot on the right that didn't like Lindsey Graham, and they didn't seem to be taking it as easy on him either. But certainly the left coming after him full bore yesterday.
Yeah, almost, you know, I mean, he served our nation.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have agreed with all of his policies. How would you? But I'm not really pleased with some of the things I saw online by notable people. Kasparian or whatever her name is. With the Young Turks on the far right. Also the far right.
Was it Fuentes?
Was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, have a little dignity and allow him to have his in death.
And what I'm saying, too, is the Republicans, regardless of your neocon or dovish ways, the Republican Party, as it stands right now, is worse off without Lindsey Graham shaking hands and making deals and raising money. And I watched more clips of him yesterday on the campaign trail. He had it. He had a way to connect with people when he's face-to-face with them and asking them for money or asking for their vote.
Or working with Democrats.
Or working with Democrats,
We talked about this earlier, Dalton. It's pretty ironic. Trump saying that he was so good at getting things done by crossing the island, and he was so friendly with so many Democrats, you think, no way, because you would see his posture on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously GOP, and when he would talk about Democrats, it would be pretty much just policy-wise in a very disparaging way. And yet, the fact is, at the cocktail party, at the ball game, whatever, he could communicate with them and help get things done.
From everything I've seen reported, he's someone who you could have stark disagreements on, say, the war in Ukraine. I was reading a conservative talk about their disagreements on that, but Lindsey Graham would come to you, and if he knew you, he'd give you a hug, and then you were working on something else separately, regardless of your views on that, or working together on coming to a solution.
Yeah.
That is something Trump mentioned, was if he needed someone to cross the aisle, it was actually Lindsey Graham he would turn to.
And we were surprised by that.
And I got to know him by little drips and drabs, and then we became friendly, and there was no better advocate. He was a fantastic advocate in the Senate, and he could do things that other people, he was able to, if I had a really big problem with a certain Democrat, he could work it out, you know, That's something most Republicans can't do.
So, of course, you know, this quickly turned to assassination theories as well, which aren't out of the realm. I mean, he was just in Ukraine touring drone factories late last week. Russia has plenty of reason to want him dead, Putin specifically. Graham himself has called multiple times for the assassination of Putin from someone within Russia.
Yeah.
But Iran hates him, too. And just during last week's Khamenei funeral, you know, they had a massive poster of Graham with a bullseye over his head saying, you know, and whatever they say, somebody must die, he must die, however. So he had people that wanted him dead. He was traveling. And then the immediate theories were, well, he was actually blown up by Russia in that drone factory and never even made it back stateside. I think that would be a little harder to cover up the way they're going about
it. That would just put Trump just lying out, you know, just because Trump said he talked to him 2 hours before the medical emergency was called in.
Odds very short on that, or very long on that being the case. But then the other one, you know, was Russia able to chemically get him with some sort of poison that took a while to take effect?
Mm.
Going to just have to wait on the autopsy, something that Rick Grinnell mentioned as waiting for.
Yeah, he said, let's go ahead and do it to give the American people the opportunity to have that peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the initial thing that we're hearing is a torn aorta, which is truly a medical emergency. When you have this torn aorta or aorta rupture, that's you need immediate help, never probably before in your life, and the help didn't get there in time.
And that first 911 call was a report of chest pain, so I don't know if Graham made that call himself, but then the next call came from a woman traveling from Baltimore, so she was on her way. She said the front door should be unlocked.
Mm.
That ended up not being the case, and that took, it sounds like, quite a bit of time for EMS to make it through the door, and I don't know how vital that would have ended up being as far as potentially saving his life. But Lindsey Graham, 71 years old, Air Force veteran, and of course, longtime member of the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, he became the guardian of his younger sister when he was at the University of South Carolina, and both of his parents died within 15 months.
Mm.
And he had that lumped on top of him, and he took on that challenge. So that's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you're in the public eye for that many years.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of discussion about your life, your policies, your beliefs, and all that kind of thing. But I think when you boil it down, like you and I like to look at it, was he a pretty solid guy? I think he was.
Yeah. Your thoughts, 251-343-0106. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:28 on Mobile Mornings. Passing of Lindsey Graham, some of what we're talking about this morning, at the age of 71.
Yeah, and coming up, so we'll talk with Molly Middleton from the Senior Bowl. Big announcement with flag football on the way. We'll get to that. And also this hour, I want to play Lindsey Graham. Actually, last month on NBC's Meet the Press, he was scheduled to be on again yesterday morning.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but Trump, I guess, ended up taking that slot on Meet the Press because of Lindsey Graham's death. And, like I expected, not a whole bunch of people on the text line giving their thoughts and prayers. Like this texter says, will the Sith replace Lady Lindsey with another Sith Lord? And Michael says, Mama always said not to speak ill of the dead, but Dan, you're nuts if you think he was a good, solid guy.
Okay, so what do you call a man who's 22 years old, experiences both parents dying? Within 15
a year
months,
and a few months, yeah.
And becomes the guardian of his 13-year-old and helps. He gets through the University of South Carolina and helps raise her. I'm just saying the basis of who he was, I don't know what the hell he did. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. The basis of who he was at the age of 22 tells me, Michael, at 22, would you have done that, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have done that?
Right.
I'm just asking you, would you have done that, or would you have just been like a lot of people and just tried to survive the trauma of all of that and maybe wouldn't quite step up and do what he did.
And he served.
That's all I'm saying.
He served as well as a JAG officer. I think people, and when they say that they don't think he's a good person, it is because of those neocon tendencies that he had. He seemed to kind of be in the Bolton camp. But I always assumed, you know, the people like that, if they were doing that they were making a mint on the defense industry stocks and getting paid in backroom deals. The reports are true that his net worth was truly $1.5 million, then what he was doing, he truly believed in, if that's
like
the case.
That's like a pauper in the Senate. That's like somebody on Skid Row.
And listen, he's not the only conservative who truly believes that America is safest when they have a hand in nearly everything.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Wildfires have scorched over 3 million acres across the United States so far in 2026, with 37,783 individual fires recorded through early July. The national total is running well above the 10-year average. Senator Lindsey Graham's death has sparked a political scramble in South Carolina. Graham was expected to win re-election easily. Now, the governor must appoint a temporary replacement. The U.S. and Iran are asserting they each control the Strait of Hormuz. That's after weeks of attacks stretching across the wider Middle East. Actor Sam Neill has died at age 78. He had starred in movies such as Jurassic Park and The Hunt for Red October. This is SRN News.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Hey, 8:35 on this Monday morning. Still a lot to get to in this hour, and we'll get to those texts and phone calls all along the way. Plus, we'll talk with Molly Middleton with the Senior Bowl. But first, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we are doing just fine. Open championship this week, so we're a little golf fired up. I know you are too, but even more fired up about what you got going on in McConnell. Talk about your inventory and what's available out there this week.
We've got a great selection of inventory. Just want to tell everybody, with this rain, be careful out there, because have that unfortunate accident. Don't forget 251-476-4141. We have a great collision center back there. Rachel and all the guys and the girls back there take care of all your stuff. We work on any make and model car you got. So don't forget, if you have that unfortunate accident, McConnell Collision. Up front, we got a great selection of pre-owned. We got a great selection of new. We got 0% on the new half-ton trucks. You know, rodeo coming up. Y'all need a truck. We got three-quarter tons and one-ton trucks to pull those big boats to go after those big fish. So we're here. The construction, you know, is kind of helping and hurting a lot. Yeah. So just come in through the back way. Like I've always said, come down Sage, turn on Dolphin Street Extension, and come through the back entrance. It's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, we'll take care of it. But check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. The website's great, too. So if you do a little bit of pre-shopping before you get out there, you'll know what you're talking about and be ready to roll. Hey, Louie, we appreciate your time this morning. Hope you have a great week.
All right, you too. Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Molly Middleton is Director of Public Relations and Community Outreach with the Panini Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, I believe that makes you the most important person at the Senior Bowl. Don't tell anybody I said that. And I'm, to me, that's a very impressive title. And it's good.
Well, thank you, Dan.
It's good to talk with you, Molly. And I know that one of the things you want to talk about. But look, we have a man in this studio.
Yeah,
who happens to be an expert.
No, come on.
At flag football, because he coached a squad.
That's technically true. I did coach a flag football team.
That's good, because we're looking for coaches. Oh, okay. That application is open as well.
All right, good to know. Well, I don't know if someone with my resume even reaches that level. So maybe a couple more years seasoning.
Well, look,
in the,
Dalton, if someone's on the hot seat, like who's the guy at USC right now?
Yeah, like, Riley?
Right, yeah, I mean, if they cut him loose, your name's in the
in the hat.
In the funnel, yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. In my house, we're pretty fired up about flag football, Molly. Even ordered some cleats last night for my 7-year-old, and she's just so happy she gets to participate in a sport that she knows her daddy loves. And I'm sure a lot of dads feel that way for their boys and girls, but flag football has become so huge. I mean, our high schools are playing it, playing for state championships.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on with the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, so tomorrow we are opening registration for our, I think we've been doing it for over 10 years.
Wow.
Probably 15 or 16 years of doing our NFL Flag Football League. So registration opens tomorrow. And it'll be open for 2 months, but it's first come, first serve, spots unlimited. It's ages 7 through 12, so there's three divisions, 8U, 10U, and 12U. And all the games are played out at South Alabama's intramural field. The first day is September 14th, and that's like a kickoff camp where it's like a skills and evaluation camp. And that's actually in the JTC, which is fun, which is the covered facility out at South. And then the two best teams from each division get to play in our Turkey Bowl the Big Boy Stadium out at Hancock Whitney Stadium. So it's a really awesome league that we've got going.
That is a crazy that's a crazy day. I was out there by mistake. Well, I was out there. I do this walking, you know, like a psychotic.
You didn't just wake up there.
I didn't wake up there. Yeah. That would be cause for alarm.
Yeah.
So Molly, I was out there a few years ago. And all these kids were there. And I guess there's also, along with the flag football, there's Thanksgiving
games as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's giveaways for the families and things like that. So that's a great day.
Yeah. Turkey Bowl is our biggest charitable event in the fall. It's kind of a two-pronged event. We give away 1,000 Thanksgiving meals to family in need.
Amazing.
That's right outside the stadium, and we do a food drive. And then inside the stadium, it's really for our tackle leagues. But then we reward our two best flag league teams with the chance to play for the championship in the Big Boy Stadium. So it's really really awesome day. But yeah, our flag football league is awesome. Registration opens tomorrow. You can find that on our website, NFL Flag or Senior Bowl, and then you'll find it. We've got a registration link and all that. With all the information, and you can just call our office if there's any other questions. But it's 6 weeks long. It's the first day is September 14th, and then we have a break, and then it's September 28th until November 2nd. It's all played on Mondays. Boys and girls, it's really awesome. Normally the girls at that age are the best ones. So, Dalton, I think y'all might need to give it a shot.
I know, I swear, yeah. And we've been working on our routes. So importantly, we've been working on our hands and catching the ball and not catching it with our face or anywhere near our face.
Right.
That takes a little bit of time. But as I mentioned, you know, with the high schools, and some of these ladies playing high school flag football are incredibly impressive. And I can't help but think, you said Senior Bowl has been doing this for a while
years,
now.
16 years.
That's played a major role in this game growing.
Yeah. We're excited about that. That's really cool. A few years ago, y'all know we do our Mobile Baldwin Athletic Partnership giveaways, donations to schools. 1 year, we had so much extra NFL flag gear. We actually went out to Alma Bryant and gave them, you know, some extra flags and balls and stuff like that they could use for practice and stuff. So it's pretty cool getting into the NFL flag side of things.
I was going to ask you about that, Molly. It's pretty cool that it's not just flag football. It's affiliated with the National Football League, so it's
you're one step from Andy Reid, basically.
That's not where I was going.
I can't say that they bring people down, but we're working on that. Maybe they'll come down and recruit.
Yeah, well, that's so cool. And like you said, registration, it'll be open for a while, but it's first come, first serve. So starting tomorrow, if you're serious about this, you want to get in. And Molly said, Senior Bowl, NFL Flag League. In the meantime, we're all fired up about football season on the way and getting our conversations started again with Executive Director Drew Fabianich. So really looking forward to that. A bit of a cold Senior Bowl last time. I love getting those from time to time, though. Just
my gosh.
With the memories.
Any day but Senior Bowl day, right?
I know you don't like seeing it, Molly, but no. I kind of enjoy it in a year like that where things are just a little bit off, and it sticks in the memories better. But I know this coming year, looking forward again to just some amazing collegiate talent that we'll be watching here these next few months, and then hopefully get to see a lot of those big names at the Senior Bowl down here in Mobile. So I know you have your work cut out for you, but we're here at FM Talk 106.5 really excited about this upcoming season.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited too, and appreciate all y'all support year round. Y'all are the best and one of our favorites to talk to, especially every Monday.
One of your Molly,
my
word,
Lee Trevanian. I can't hurt Lee Trevanian's feelings over there on 105.5.
Yeah.
Glad to have you on today, and glad to talk about the flag football. And I just love the fact that I've got a very accomplished coach
in
the
studio.
I stop it. You stop it. A very accomplished coach in the studio with us, and certainly a very accomplished guest with Molly on the line. So thanks, Molly, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you all so much. Looking forward to hearing from y'all soon.
Yes. All right. Molly Middleton, Director of PR and Community Outreach. She's done a fantastic job with the Senior Bowl and all that they do in the community.
Speaking of football, by the way, look at this. Good morning, Dan and Dalton. Happy Monday. I know we're some 40-ish days away from week zero of college football season, but I just wanted to ask if you're going to do continue with Feinbaum Fridays this football season. I'm sitting on ready. Ready to go. It's Sheila.
That's the plan.
That is the plan, for sure.
We're hoping to strike that back up and get it going before week zero. Mm-hmm. We'll have Paul Feinbaum on Friday mornings. Yeah, we're right around the corner.
She's more in the know than I am. Like, I didn't know we were 40 days away.
We're actually less than a month out from some NFL preseason games getting underway, so that's how close we are. Texter, and this is Jeff from Spanish Fort. We've been talking a lot about this big week ahead as well. I mean, let alone football on the way in a month. Let's get through this week first, right? And he mentions the Blues are home this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the Pensacola Air Show. That's a big part of the weekend. So is the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. I saw some of the pictures from the kids this past weekend, Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. They looked like they were having an absolute ball, and seeing some of those weigh-in pictures. So that's how you know it's time. And this Friday, Sean Sullivan will take the Mobile Command Unit down to the island live for Midday Mobile from the rodeo, and then Saturday, an extra special outdoor show with Sean and Mike Ward live from the site there at the ADSFR down on Dolphin Island. And would love to hear from you if you're going to see the Blues fly this weekend or whatever your big weekend plans
are. Yeah, what are your plans? Because there's so much to do. Dalton and I are going to enjoy the Nappies on Friday night. That's just a cool night because so many people turn out. Yeah. I mean, it pretty much fills up the Sanger Theater with people who have won or competed in any kind of business in and around Mobile. It's all hands on deck with that one because they give out awards for nearly any occupation you have out there.
It's fun. Yeah, the nappies are fun, and then the next day I need a nappy after the nappies.
Yeah.
Also, of course, a lot of talk about Lindsey Graham this morning, and for good reason, with his passing on Saturday night. And, of course, many people critical of Lindsey Graham, the person, Lindsey Graham, the politician. But I think Dan and I this morning are really, I'm focusing on a lot of the things that Lindsey Graham did, and I think did well. And one of those things, I think it's really going to hurt the Republican Party, at least in the short term, and maybe even longer. He was a mover and a shaker, man. And he was able to make deals, and he's important on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. He wasn't someone that you didn't want around you when you're running for office. I mean, depending on where you are and what your constituency is, of course, but he would campaign for you and campaign well. And he would raise money, and he would do a hell of a job raising money. There was a video I was watching of him. It's some, I'm sure, rich donor, you know, golf course get together in South Carolina. But watching the man work in his element was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he had to be. And the raising money, check that box for sure. Always being at the front of the line, ready to talk to America, ready to be on camera, always check that box. And what I didn't realize, what Trump said, was so many Democrats really liked Lindsey Graham, that he was very friendly personally with them, and Trump said he could send him into enemy territory when he needed to get something done. And it was, I never knew that about him, that he was that skilled or had that kind of charisma where he could shut off the "I don't like you" and turn on the "Hey, I think we can get along."
Yeah, and he was a damn hustler too. I mean, like Trump said, he was a worker.
He was a worker.
Yeah, I mean, he was scheduled to go on Meet the Press yesterday morning, right after returning from that trip to Ukraine, and telling Trump that he thinks the Senate can get the Save America Act across. It's going to be more difficult without his vote coming up here until someone's appointed. And also, just at the end of last week, we're talking about Trump and the Senate Republicans coming to a deal on legislation that was greatly going to harm Russia economically by punishing any country that purchases oil from Russia.
And that would be a lot of the European countries that were doing that and really ticking Trump off, mm-hmm. right? Like Germany, maybe?
And so he wants to add some penalties there,
yeah.
which is just another part of this as people look at Russia and the reasons he wanted him dead. So some of these texts said, I think he was a solid conservative, and I think he fought for the values that conservatives have. He definitely was a statesman and a public servant to bar none. The Nayers, I think, they're remembering selectively, and that happens sometimes. He wasn't even friends with Trump in the beginning, but I think he made his own decisions at his own choices.
He wasn't with... Okay, I'm going again.
And he did what he thought it was right, as evidenced by his own personal life. Well, from what I was reading, he determined, after losing that 2015 campaign, losing in 2016 to Trump, he said, either I can make amends and have some sway over Trump and his policy, or I can let the non-interventionists swoop into that role, the Rand Pauls and the like. And he, of course, was an interventionist, and he proved to be the winner as far as getting on Trump's good side.
Yep.
We've seen what's happened with a lot of the non-interventionists since. And whether you hated him because of his neocon ways, to me, he was truly someone who believed, and he's not a rarity, especially among conservatives, although if you look at polling and things, it seems that way now. But peace through strength and being involved in wars and using that to spread democracy, that's something that he truly believed in.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are critical of him for that, and there's good reason to as well if that's what you think. But I truly think he was someone who believed in what he was doing.
Well, think about this. Peace through strength is basically not what Trump campaigned on, but in action, that's what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
The receipts from Iran, obviously not in yet. We don't know exactly what the end result is going to be of the action in Iran, but Trump was anything but passive in the face of a country like Iran that he just felt like we need to take care of this now because you got to remember in the lead up to all this, Dalton, one after another, you just had Iran getting weaker and weaker. You had the strikes a year ago, and then you had the proxies were all falling off, and it was kind of like now might be the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say what you want, but in the end, Graham and now / Trump, their view on this might be
the way forward.
Correct.
And let me play Graham's view on this. I want to play this here, but also when it comes to Ukraine, you know, he backed them in 2014 and in 2022 again.
He did, yeah.
Probably a big reason why Trump has stuck around in that fight as long as he has. But Graham, the last time he was on Face the Nation, so before he was scheduled to be on yesterday, he was on back in June. And this was before the MOU completely fell apart. And, you know, as he lay dead this weekend, we're bombing Iran and Iran's firing missiles at us. Here's what Graham last said about the war in Iran on Face the Nation.
What happens next? I spent 4.5 hours with President Trump Friday. Here's what I think will happen next. If this deal fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz over by force. The United States will control the Strait of Hormuz, will charge a fee for all those who go through to pay for the operation, and we're going to expand the Abraham Accords in calendar year 2026. We're going to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords, and which is the biggest change in 5,000 years in the Mideast. And if Iran contests control of the Strait of Hormuz by the United States, we will obliterate them. So to all the people listening, if this diplomatic effort fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
We're going to run it. We're going to try to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords to end the Arab-Israeli conflict in 2026. And if Iran continues to attack Israel and Lebanon, the new policy will be we'll hit Iran. So to the Iranians, if you're listening, when you use Hezbollah to attack Israel, I think the new policy will be we will attack Iran.
So how wise will those words end up being? Are we going to take the Strait and charge ships for passage?
I don't know if we're going to charge
to pay for the operation.
Right. All of that I'm not quite sure of, but I think that for sure he is right about one thing. If this thing does just completely fail, that will be all on Iran. They're going to be the ones that are going to spit in the face of it. Already have, you could say. But if it does completely fail, I think that more force is on the way because that's the card that we have. And that's the way we can play it if we wish. Trump obviously has been very
hesitant.
Reserved and hesitant in a full force.
Maybe hesitant's the wrong word.
Yeah,
he acts,
I think,
decisively.
Measured. Yeah. 853 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Your thoughts on the text line 251-343-0106. Love to hear from you, Dan and Dalton, with a preview of the Jeff Poor Show straight ahead.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Yep, we're going to clear out, but you can continue to text the Jeff Poor Show, and the Jeff Poor Show is on the way next.
Yeah, he'll have State Representative Shane Stringer on in hour number one. Columnist Paul DeMarco joins Jeff in the second hour of his program, and then WVNN's Dale Jackson in hour number three. Gardner texting in, Graham spent 33 years in the military, too. Yeah, so he was ROTC and then joined the JAG Corps with the Air Force, and then the Guard after his first line ended. Keith says, truth, honor, integrity. Just a few of the words I'd use about Lindsey Graham. So rare these days. And Paul noting, he said, I think there were elements of good. I hate how he loved war. And there were some interesting rumors. Well, yeah, those rumors, of course, you're talking about his sexuality. There have been many a joke made on the late night shows about that over the years. But yeah, all things considered, I think Lindsey Graham did a pretty good job of rising above a lot of that, right?
Yeah, he did.
A lot of the muck.
Yeah.
It was easy to do, right?
I mean, if he listened to FM Talk 106.5, he caught it from us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because he was, don't take this the wrong way, audience, he was low-hanging fruit in terms of that kind of humor.
Michael says, he says even Hitler did some good, solid things for folks. But, you know, you can't just take everything to Hitler. I think for as much as many people dislike Lindsey Graham because of his hawkish ways, the thing to me, if he died with a net worth of $1.5 million, mm-hmm, and he wasn't making anything off the take from any other
defense
industries or whatever, then this was someone who was out there putting his life literally on the line, mm-hmm, fighting for what he believed
creating
in.
Creating mortal enemies.
Exactly right. And he was really great at what he did. Jeff Poor Show, it's on the way next.